Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell and Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio.
Hello, Diane.
Hi, Amity. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back. We're here with Design Oracles, Amity and Diane.
And we're excited today. We have Sean McElroy with Acme Brick to talk about brick, which I love brick.
I love brick, too. Mm-hmm.
So do I.
You want to say a little bit about yourself, Sean, and who you are and what you do?
Well, like y'all mentioned, I'm with Acme Brick Company. I've been with Acme for almost 33 years, so more than half my life. I work in the Austin market. In the residential sales primarily as a manager and also the Temple Waco market.
Got it. And so tell us, we always like to start out with a question that's just what is the most interesting thing do you think about what you do or what you get to teach people about what you do?
Well, really when you're, I think the interesting thing is when you're involved with construction, there's problems. And so the problem solving and is interesting to me to get, you know, whether it's a material issue or a workmanship issue or an availability issue. So definitely solving problems and just watching the industry evolve, different brick, different sizes. It just continues to evolve and evolve.
Yeah, I bet you've seen. I mean, there's so many brick options out there now, sizes and colors and all that fun stuff.
Trends, things like mm-hmm. that.
Yes.
Diane, you and I both love brick. Mm-hmm. I'll start out with a controversial question.
Oh, okay.
That's how I roll. Just to get us sort of greased up here, what about this whole trend of painting brick and painted brick? I have some thoughts about that, but what is the industry's take on all that? Because I imagine you sell brick you can paint. It starts out ugly, maybe.
Well, yes, and that's really evolved as well.
Yeah.
So originally on painted brick, people would come in and say, give us your coals or give us, you know, whatever you got that we can paint. And so it would usually be at a discounted price.
What is coals?
Coals, just off shades, brick that we can't market as a, you know, just something on the back of the yard that's been sitting there and needs a home, basically.
Right. Like, and do they get that at a lower price because it's just not been used or it's been sitting there a while? Or
yeah, usually we discount that.
But the quality's the same?
Quality's the same. But what's happened in the last 3 years, we've run out of brick. So those don't exist. For the first time ever in our company, and other companies I'm seeing, we are actually manufacturing brick to be painted.
Interesting.
Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
I'm telling you.
Amity.
It's fascinating.
So,
oh my gosh.
Obviously, that's not at a discount because, you know, the cost to run a kiln, it doesn't differentiate which brick's in the kiln. Energy's energy, labor's labor.
Mm-hmm. And the material itself that makes up the brick doesn't change, but there might be different colorations.
So can you, when we make painted brick, we don't put any of the additives in it like manganese or chromite. It's a lower cost material, and it's a material that if you just took that brick and put it in the wall, you're going to have a lot of range. It's going to be spotty, so it's designed to be painted. I must say about 4 years ago when I started seeing this, I didn't get it because the beautiful thing about brick, we know, is it's virtually maintenance-free. You don't have to paint your house.
Yeah.
Well, now, there's, you know, I guess it's a good time to be in the paint business. But I've got past that now because I obviously can't control it, and it's a sale, and I've just put my feelings to the side.
Right. That's interesting that you say that because I do think we all in our industries get attached to the idea of, so for you, it might be the brick and the fact, the beauty of the brick. And I agree with you is that it's a maintenance-free product. It is an upgrade. Mm-hmm. Typically for an exterior or interior of a house, it's, you know, it's a higher level material. So it kind of breaks your heart a little when people start slapping paint up on it, and or it does mine, I guess. But I guess that's where we are.
I have to just say, well, you do you. I in my own neighborhood saw someone paint a brick that was made in the 1900s.
Oh, my gosh.
An Austin Common. You're probably familiar with an Austin
yeah,
Common.
Yeah, and we have to try and find those sometimes.
And they're very hard to find.
Yeah.
If you can find them. Uh-huh. I've got that on my own personal home, and when I walk by the house, I'm like, they don't know what they've got.
Wow.
But
you should ring their doorbell.
I know. Ring the doorbell.
All right, so that's a good segue here because I would love to know, because I don't know very much. Diane knows more about brick because as an interior designer, it's not as common a product that I'm familiar with. But can you talk to us just briefly, framework about the levels of brick and the uses of brick and the
sure.
colorations?
So as far as the different usages, you've got residential, commercial usage. Schools, hospitals, and landscaping, pavers,
mm-hmm.
and that's really the three areas where brick's mainly used.
Mm-hmm.
And how about the fact that, you know, in one region of the country, you might see a typical, like a brick that's a certain color, maybe in the Northeast, you see a lot of red brick.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that the case?
My school at University of Maryland is all red brick
right.
anywhere.
And it was probably, brick was probably produced in Maryland. It was probably produced in, if I'm guessing right, Williamsport from a
yeah.
company called Couchewa.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, and it was probably a wood mold, which is a handmade brick, basically.
Oh.
And it's popular. Called wood mold because they make the just molds out of wood.
They have molds, and the clay is, it's usually a wet pour, a mm-hmm. wetter clay, mm-hmm. and they're dried, and when they pop them out of the molds, they have different folds, very different characteristics. We have not done well with wood molds in the Central Texas market.
Okay.
It's just not that popular.
Is it the look or?
I just think people are used to a certain look, and it's, you know, there's two factors. There's a cost and there's a look. And so, but they're very beautiful. And there's still plants today, Carolina Ceramics, and
mm-hmm.
The Carolinas actually makes a real handmade brick. No machines. It's handmade brick.
Mm.
So that the fact that it's a wood mold means it's handmade?
Mm-hmm. Well, it can be machine wood mold now. Technology's
okay. yeah.
Brought that together.
Right.
So they're really one of the few actual handmade by hand. So.
And I did a project in an amenity center down in the valley my previous life in the commercial world, and the bricks were all handmade from down there, and they were so mm-hmm. really sandy and porous, and they were kind of difficult to work with, but the owners really wanted to have it on their center, and they came out beautiful.
I'm sure that, and they were probably a brick that was produced in Mexico. They mm-hmm. they do a lot of the handmade brick, and I forgot about those are actual handmade
yeah.
as well. So.
Yeah.
And are those kiln fired or are bricks dried in the sun? Or?
It's a mixed bag.
Uh-huh.
I've actually been to a very small plant years and years ago, not recently, and they dry them under a shed, so the brick have to be dried before they're put into fire, or you'll have cracks and they'll break. And then they have what's field kilns, and so they'll load the green brick in the kiln. They've got a metal roof. They've got portholes on the side. They'll brick up the end, dry stack the brick, burn tires, wood, mesquite, whatever, and they'll fire the brick that way.
Hmm.
So,
interesting. And what makes up the color of the brick? Is it colorants that are added, or is it
both?
The clay,
your source of clay. So, mm-hmm. for example, talking about Maryland, there's
yeah.
red clay there. Yeah, you go to one of our plants, say in Arkansas, the clay is white, just mm-hmm. regular white.
Yeah.
So what you could do with a white clay is you could add chromite, and the more intense the chromite added, the deeper gray that brick gets. So we can make a true gray through the body brick with chromite. Or mm-hmm. if you want to go brown, the more intense the brown, you add manganese. And so that's an example, one of our plants that we just have one clay source, and I mean, today everybody would just want us to make the white brick. Obviously, that's pretty trendy. Mm-hmm. Then we have like our Elgin plant. We have two different kind of clays there. We're blessed with that. We have a buff clay and a pink clay, and are all in the same pit and are separated by a layer of lignite. So we're actually able to mix the buff and the pinks clays to get our different colors. So it's a natural, that would be a natural color. When you start adding minerals like chromite and manganese, it's still natural, but you're manipulating that by putting the color in it.
Interesting. Yeah, I see a lot of, you mentioned pink brick. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of pink brick on a lot of mid-century homes, at least here in this region. Mm-hmm. And I find it really beautiful. Is that a natural colorant on that, or is that an added? Or
So if it's through the body, it could be a natural. It mm-hmm. could just be a fired, either very hot or under-fired a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That interesting for the variation.
Yeah.
And then also their size system, like mm-hmm. a king, they call it what, king?
Yeah.
That's it's delineation for how to order sizes of brick. Is that correct?
Right. So when we talk about when brick, going way back, used to, I would say, in the 1900s, you had one size, and it was an 8-inch modular brick, a full 8-inch
right.
length. In the 50s, Acme introduced the king size brick. So we introduced that. And the reason is because a modular is 7 brick per square foot and a king size is 4.8 brick per square foot. So you had a savings in material mm-hmm. as well as labor. And so the housing market latched on to the king size
that
brick.
Makes sense. Yeah. Interesting.
And then it's gone crazy from there. I just quoted a job yesterday with a brick made in Italy that is 20 inches long by 1 9/16.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
It'll look awesome.
Long linear look.
I like that idea. What color is it?
It's kind of a earth tone brown, but it's got some range to it. So it's an interesting looking brick, and that's what the client wants. And so.
Yeah, I love
it. Sounds beautiful.
Yeah. Well, we just did the old Texas brick on a house.
Yes.
And that, I love it.
What is that? Describe that
so
for me.
So old Texas brick is produced in Monterrey, Mexico. We actually represent them in Austin. And they make a very gorgeous brick. And I think good quality, too.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. I realize now which project Diane's talking about. And we just sit sometimes out in the yard over there.
And look at it.
And look at it, admire it. It is so beautiful. It's thinner, isn't it? A little
yeah.
thinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just so beautiful. The character of it is so lovely. And I think that if people had a better understanding of, again, I don't mean to make this entire show about not painting your brick, but I do think just taking a moment to kind of understand the history of your brick and the labor that went into making it and the durability of it
right.
might give people a little pause. Go buy a different house if you don't. Or I'm kidding, but yeah.
But you can get brick from in a range from white all the way to black. I mean, the colors
yeah,
today.
Yeah, the black brick.
The way the industry has evolved. Used to, it was the periodic kilns. If you think about the houses in Hyde Park in Austin
mm-hmm.
with the scratch face, and it has the range. Well, that was a kiln range, and that's what you got. This is what we make.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's more, it's turned into the fashion industry, sort of, in the brick world, which is great.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I like to see it when I have seen those black bricks, and
mm-hmm.
it's fun to see that.
You see a lot of that in commercial, too, more mm-hmm. of the dark-colored
yes.
brick.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be a trend.
What about, so like we were just talking about the old Texas brick, there's no holes in it,
mm-hmm.
but then as we think of a brick, they have holes in it. So what is the difference, and what are the good things about having holes and not having holes?
It's really a manufacturing process.
Mm-hmm.
So, we go back to the wood molds, the old Austin Commons, the old Texas brick, the brick on the East Coast. that was the way in the press brick. Acme started out as a press brick, so it was a very dense press brick. Technology, you get these extruders, and so these big extruders that take the clay into the extruder, and it's kind of like a tube of toothpaste. When you press on it, you know the paste comes out. Well, the extruder works the same way with brick, and we have a bridge in there that puts the core holes in it. So it's a manufacturing process. Mm-hmm. I would say probably 90% of the brick produced today in the United States, maybe even higher, are extruded with core holes.
Mm-hmm. And what are the advantages for those holes, do you think?
Well, first of all,
not as heavy.
Not as heavy for transportation. Yeah. We use less of our natural resource, okay, but we still fall under an ASTM standard by mm-hmm. doing that. And it really just comes down to production. You're able to produce more because of these extruders versus if yet they were a handmade. So the advantages really are more on the industry side for transportation, saving a natural resource or not using all your natural resource.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't make it the brick more vulnerable or...
Well, you could break a cord brick in half a lot easier mm-hmm. than you could a solid brick.
So they use those in karate class?
Yes. But, when the mason's laying a cord brick, when he's laying the mortar on the bed of the brick and you press the other brick in, that mortar goes in those core holes. So you see
you're
how
filling the, in those
you're,
core holes.
You're filling
so you're
in those
that.
Voids, and it makes the wall stronger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So that's a good point to bring up is the installation. You mentioned before we started recording, you were talking about educating people about how difficult it is to install brick and lay brick. Or what? Can you tell us a little bit about that class that you were mentioning
so,
earlier?
Yes, we've... There's a civil engineering class. It's leaned toward architecture as well at the University of Texas. And so every September we have about 20, 21 of their students come out to our location. And we have stations set up and we have a mason that comes in and talks about how to lay brick. And then we have a brick laying contest. And the students really, I think, get an appreciation of brick walls after they... see what they've done and the difficult that it's not that easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, and also to get the coursings right with the mortar and everything. And
then I always hear about, I have a rock house, actually, not a brick house, but they had to go in and repoint it mm-hmm. when I was changing out some windows and there were just some weep holes. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that means?
So if you had, for example, over time, your mortar joints, maybe they deteriorated. Older buildings, you see that a lot. Mm-hmm. And so they have to go in and just tuck point it with mortar and fix the joints, basically.
So it's just like they kind of take out the loose bits and then...
Right. They'll cut some of the mortar out and then they'll tuck point it. Correct.
Yeah, it's a fascinating process to watch. I love this stuff. And then Diane was curious, she has brought this up to me before, and the difficulty of matching brick. Mm. So I brought up just now bringing out, sometimes when you have to take out portions of a house and you need to go fill back in.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
Yeah,
can you do that?
That is actually very difficult a lot of times because just like anything, brick, all manufacturers are going to discontinue a blend. And so mm-hmm. let's say we've got a plant that has 8 blends and it usually goes on the 20-80 principle that 20% of your production is 80% of your sales. And so if we get a brick that the public doesn't find beautiful, we want to replace that with our R&D with the next latest greatest thing. A lot of people walk into our showroom with a half a brick and go, I need to match this. And you're kind of going, okay, do you got a photo? That might help. We've already torn out, we've already demoed, and we just need to match it. So my advice to anyone that is going to do a remodel, do any demo, go secure your material first before you're contractor starts ripping down walls, because there's a good chance you're not going to match that. And then that will give you the opportunity to go to plan B. Maybe it's a different cladding that you'll use in a certain section, or you can pull a wall out, reclaim that,
yeah,
use that where you need it, and then put a different cladding on that. But if I would say anything, it's every day. Hey, we've torn this out. You got this on your yard, right? Well, we shipped that in 1999, 23 years ago. That plant's been torn down or closed down. And
I
so
like
that,
the public service announcement portion of this event. Exactly. Is to not proceed until you know you've secured your material.
People want to get the project going, but I can tell you it can create a huge roadblock and frustration.
Oh, I've had people cry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't find the brick to match, and the builder promised and said we could save this much and it would be this much and we could get that whole wall, and then suddenly we can't because too many bricks broke in the process of taking the wall down, and then we go and get similar brick to try and put it in, but then they still know that it is not the
actual brick. If it's not a direct tie-in, let's say I recently had a friend that's a custom builder, and he said, "Will you drive by this house and look at it?" And I said, "Okay, give me the address. I can look up the records." And I called him. I said, "We've had to tear it. We've closed that plant in 09, and it's been leveled. we have no plant that can produce a brick that looks like that. Furthermore, I don't know anyone in the country that does, because we represent a lot of other brick lines." And then he put the pressure on. "Come on, Sean, I know you can do it." So I started getting, okay, well, give me the scope. Well, it's just a detached garage, and it's got a little wainscot around it. So I drove out to the house and looked, and what I saw was they had brick all on the front, but on the side they had very little where the garage was. And put together something that, I dry stacked it. I was kind of proud of it. I just called him. I said, "It's not perfect, but on a fast horse, nobody will know."
That's right.
Fast horse. Right?
Yeah. I completely agree. We had a similar instance where a client just wanted a brick fence, or we wanted a brick fence on the face of the house for a little bit more character, and the house was a 1990s house. And same thing, kind of found something that a fast horse wouldn't be able to tell, that it was different, and it's a little separate. And then, there's a tree in front of the house. There's a shadow over it, so the color difference didn't show up as much.
Well, we're probably the only three that would drive by a house and say, "That's a different brick."
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think most people just see the brick, and if it's complimentary, and don't think about, it's an addition, and it doesn't match.
That's right. Yeah, but there is always a different direction to go. There is a way. I often think when I see sites when they're using brick, I feel like pulling over and just giving them my card and saying, "If you have any left over at the end and nobody cares, give me a call," because I just love brick pathways and brick walkways, and there's always a way to work that into a landscaping plan. I got to do a little bit of that
pathways
to create a really beautiful little landing area for my trash and recycling is in a very fancy bricked little patio area. And it makes me happy every time I see it.
So. Well, I'm sure your trash is happy too.
My trash is very
for
happy.
Sure. So, people coming into your showroom when they don't come in with a brick to match, and they're just like, "I just want to pick out my brick for my house." How do you start that process with them?
Well, it's because we've had people come in and go, "I don't know what I want."
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm thinking, well, if you don't know what you want, how do I know what you want? But for the most part, I would say go to our website, okay, and get a target, get an inspiration, kind of narrow it down. Do you want an earth tone, a white brick, a gray brick, a black brick, a red? And then from there, the way we've got it set up, we've really got our colors with not only our brick but our supply partners, and so if they're looking for a gray brick, they can just look in one section and land on one.
Yeah, it's a great showroom. It has a lot of brick options, so it's really nice.
I haven't been there, but I actually found myself driving through a neighborhood yesterday, and I came upon a house that I've been involved with, but they've been put on hold for various reasons, and I turned my head and went, that is some beautiful brick. And then went, oh, that's the house I've been working on for a couple years. And it's a beautiful kind of gray-brown brick. And I'm very pleased that a lot of people who are into gray and darker houses right now, that tends to be a trend, are using these very nuanced bricks as opposed to just doing painted material that just doesn't hold up as well, because the houses will last longer. And then is there a green?
It just gives it more texture, too.
Yes, more texture, more interest. Is there like a green factor to brick as a, you know, as when I say green, like a sustainable material?
Absolutely. You know, first of all, brick is the primary ingredient is clay. And we mine clay. Most manufacturers clay, the way it should work is you find the clay, then you build the plant. When you have to start shipping clay longer distances, that's not green.
Interesting. Right. That's a good point.
So we mine, for the most part, most of our clay pits are right there at the site. It's a natural resource that we mine. We fire with natural gas. We scrub that natural gas because the EPA wants us to do that, and that there's a cost to that, but we want to be good to the earth. But you can also reclaim brick, like Chicago used brick. We sell a lot of that. So, you know, you talk about green. You've got a product that was in a building. It's demoed, put on a pallet, and it's put back in another building. So, and of course, sustainability, we offer a 100-year limited homeowners guarantee.
Right.
And because really, it's fired at 2,100 degrees, and it's very sustainable.
Yeah. It reminds me of the Three Little Pigs.
What do you mean?
The Three Little Pigs.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Can't blow the brick house down.
Oh, right. Okay.
House of sticks.
That old Chicago brick, I do get a lot of people wanting that on their houses. Do you get it, Amity, on the interior?
I haven't yet. I'm not familiar with what that is. Yeah.
It's definitely reddish, and it always has lots of other various colors in it.
Even like paint. Soot.
Yeah, sometimes it has soot and white paint stuck to it, and it's got a lot of character. It's really great. We even used it on a behind a range. I'm not exactly sure how you clean it, but
oh, I love that. Who cares? It's fine. Just
well, you just seal it, beautiful. Right?
Just seal it. Yeah, I personal working towards promoting brick and not painting brick even on interiors, because a lot of times we'll go in and there'll be for the interior piece of it, there's a beautiful brick fireplace and maybe a brick hearth, and the clients will maybe just not feel attached to that. It's not their house, it's an older house, and maybe somebody's painted the exterior brick already, or so it takes a little bit of kind of just talking to them about the integrity of the material. It's three or four meetings sometimes to kind of get them around to, let's try to work some of the other materials we choose for the house to tie into what's already happening. Again, for the green factor, for the fact that it's the right thing to do, for not to waste the material. Or it doesn't always work, but you know, we've even just kind of gone over it with a thinner brick, so maybe we frame it out so that we don't have the demolition cost of taking out the brick. I'm talking about like a fireplace or a feature wall of brick. And then you just frame right on top of that, and then put in a thin brick tile, which is, I think, is it there, are those thin brick tiles actually brick, or are they made by in a different process, you know, the ones that are not
thin brick? Is 10 years ago we'd get a call once a month. We get four calls a day now. So really, there's two different kind of thin brick. There is a, for the most part, thin brick is a full brick. They're saw houses, and they cut the faces off, or they cut the 90-degree corner to look like the header. Some manufacturers extrude thin brick. They actually have a process where they extrude the thin brick. But seeing that exterior, interior a lot.
Seems to be a trend. And then I did that at my home. I had actually rock fireplace, and it wasn't in good condition. It hadn't held up well. And I went over it with a thin brick. And, boy, it's beautiful. And it does have sort of an enamel-looking finish on it. I don't know how it's some sort of a baked-on finish. But I'm glad that's a trend because it looks like an integral material, which I like. And then if you're not demoing what's underneath, in theory, someone could carefully take off and restore what was originally underneath.
Or you'd move and they'd paint your brick.
There we go.
No.
I'm kidding.
I'm such a purist. I like the big regular brick.
I do too.
The outside.
I do too. Yeah. I also just a big fan of the character, like Diane was saying earlier, that brick brings to homes. Mm-hmm. And each house having a little bit different brick and a lot of different brick houses in a row. Like there's some central Austin house neighborhoods will have that where there's like a white brick and a gray brick and a pink brick. And the houses are of similar era, the mid-century kind of 50s, I guess, when that whole building boom was taking place. But then they're just a little bit different in that character. And the subtleties are really beautiful to me.
And we're seeing a lot of that in infill where they're going in with brick.
Yes.
Most of it is what I would call an architectural brick, a commercial brick, straight lines, a lot of long linear brick, like Normans that are 11 and 5/8 in length, a lot of that going on. So it's kind of neat to see that type of material being used on residential construction.
Yeah. I think the trend of painting brick is starting to go away because I've been having more people request to keep the brick and not paint it, try to match it, or, you know, they want brick on their house, and they don't want to put brick on their house and paint it. So I'm seeing that trend starting to kind of
disappear. I think I'm seeing that as well, and I've had more, it's sometimes more difficult to choose a paint color for maybe the fascia and the soffit and the trim that ties the brick in nicely. Maybe that is harder. It takes more time, I guess is what I mean. There's more subtlety to that process. It's not just, oh, well, let's just paint all the trim white because then the brick's not going to look good together. So that process, I just had a meeting last week with a client where luckily they wanted to not paint their brick and we wanted to just lean into it. And there's so many colors in the brick itself. There's 12 colors in the brick that I could see with my naked eye that we could pull from to kind of match and
when you do that, it really does change the house, just painting those things different colors rather than having to paint the whole house.
Right.
So we want to make sure we give you an opportunity to tell us too what you would want to talk to us about and teach people about brick. If you just, we give you the platform to say
anything
we haven't talked about that you want to make sure gets out there.
Well, I think when people look at brick and you look at the cost of brick, it's really for what you're getting, for the aesthetics, for the sustainability. I would want people to look at their cladding as an investment and not a cost. Okay. So there's a brick for everyone. There's a $2.50 square foot brick. There's a $17.50 square foot brick and higher. So, you know, from protecting your home with brick cladding, the sustainability, and, you know, I think I'd always laugh because somebody would go spend $8,000 on a light fixture outside, but they didn't want to spend an extra $2,000 on their brick. And when you drive up in the driveway, what do you see?
Right.
You don't see that. You might see that light fixture, but you see that whole house.
And you might get tired of that light fixture and change it out in 8 years.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I would say just, you know, not to focus on the cost, because when you compare it to other cladding material, it really is an affordable product. And that's really what
it's an investment. I like that. That's
like
absolutely
said,
true.
In your cladding.
Absolutely true.
And you know, brick homes from an insurance standpoint on your premiums, we could go on and on about some of the benefits.
True, yeah. They don't burn down.
Right.
They don't off gas.
No. It's true.
They don't get blown down by the big
bad. That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Well, thank you so much, Sean, for being here. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
well, this has been fun.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio.